welcome to Echoes of Glory, Season 8, Episode 17. I'm Jack.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Kevin.
So to start the show today, this was sent in by Carl Woodbridge, friend of the show. We want to know, what is your all-time Spurs team of players that you've seen live? However, there are two rules for this game. You're not allowed any English players, and you're only allowed one player per nationality. So, do you want to go first?
Yeah.
Do you want to do your team first? Go on. So talk us through who you've selected and why you've selected them.
I've got Pat Jennings in goal, Northern Ireland. He's still the best keeper I think I've seen at Tottenham. Fullbacks I was struggling with, but I've got a bit of a dodgy one at right back. I've got Gunnar Bergsson, who's Icelandic, at right back. Then I've got Richard Gough, Scottish, and Jan Vertonghen, Belgium, at centre back, and Chrissy Houghton at left back, Republic of Ireland. And then my midfield is Eriksen, Denmark, Ardiles, Argentina, Modric, Croatia, Bow, Wales, and then up front I've got Berbatov and Klinsmann.
So not a bad side. It's a bit of an old school 4-4-2 formation going on.
And we're not going with any form of defence in midfield. We're basically playing four defenders and then six attackers. That's the way
good,
we're going.
Good mix
it.
Of players in there. Who's your favourite player out of that lot that you've picked?
Ozzy Ardiles.
Ardiles.
Yeah.
Brilliant player. Not a bad side. Sam, do you want to do your one?
Yep. I'm going to go same formation. So I'm going to go Hugo in goal. I'm going to go for Serge Aurier at right back.
So you've gone current team so far.
Current, yep. I'm then going to go Davinson Sanchez and Toby, centre-half. I'm going to be a bit cheeky and play Gareth Bale at left back.
It's an attack-minded side as well.
And then midfield, right side, going to play Rafael van der Vaart. Going to play Modric and Eriksen, central midfield, with Heung-min Son off the left.
Yeah.
And then my favourite strike partnership of all time, Robbie Keane and Dimitar Berbatov up front.
Again, not a bad side.
Good team.
Not a bad team at
good
all.
Team. Good
Lots
team.
Of attacking players in there as well. So I'll do mine, and then we'll read some of the ones that have been posted on social media today. So I've gone for a bit more of a 4-2-3-1, but it's definitely not defensive. Trust me when I read the team. So in goal, I've actually gone for a goalkeeper that was fantastic for us. He joined us quite late in his career, but was so solid and so consistent, and he gave us a period of stability in goal, which we hadn't had for a long time. That's Brad Friedel.
Oh, great shout.
Of the United States. I thought he was fantastic for us when we brought him in. Real, real solid keeper. Good character in the dressing room. So he's my goalkeeper. My defence, at right back, I've got Steve Carr from Republic of Ireland.
Yeah.
Best guy I've ever seen live. That's why he's in. But again, you know what? At the time, he was our captain for Ireland. He was a pretty steady player for us.
You should include Steve Carr just for captain Birmingham when they beat Woolwich in the cup final a few years ago.
Bit of a bulldog right back. He had an engine on him. He was a decent player. My two centre-halves, I've gone for the current side. So I've got Davinson Sanchez of Colombia and Toby Alderweireld of Belgium. Alderweireld shaves it over Vertonghen for me just because
Sanchez
his distribution
well.
And he's just on another level for me.
Colombia's
and my left back is from Germany, Christian Ziege.
Yeah, that's a good
shot. He's my left back. Again, a good player, one of our better players at the time. Brilliant set piece, could take a free kick. Good delivery into the box. He was just a good all-round player, really. So Christian Ziege at left back. Then my two central midfielders are Modric of Croatia and Eriksen of Denmark. So just two ballers in the middle there, just dictating play, controlling the match. Off the right-hand side, I've got David Ginola of France on the right. Again, in that period where he was in the team, he was the star player by a mile. And, you know, he made the pain of the late 90s, early 2000s, slightly bearable.
I think Sam made a good point. We were talking about this yesterday, and Sam says that Ginola was a 7 out of 10 player and a 4 out of 10 team.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty good.
Which, you know what, it's probably not
it's not an insult to him.
But a brilliant player. You know, he's the kind of player that, you know, he's why you go to watch the games. You know, go past a man, moments of magic, moments that you remember in games. So he's off the right for me. Then I've got Bale off the left for obvious reasons.
Definitely.
And then in the 10, I've got Van der Vaart. Anyone that's listened to the pod before knows how much Van der Vaart's one of my favourite players I've ever seen. So he's just a truly brilliant player.
Pictures on your wall,
And Berbatov up front. So I've got a lot of pace with Van der Vaart and Berbatov through the middle of that side as well. And the work rate as well.
What happens when Bal goes down the left and the other two are still on the
halfway
line?
Still on the halfway line, yeah. So that was my team. So that's Friedel, Carr, Alderweireld, Sanchez, Ziga, Modric, Eriksen, Ginola, Van der Vaart, Bale and Berbatov. So not a bad side there.
I think all three of them would go down in the Premier League today, I think.
Do you reckon? So I don't think they'd go down, but I think they'd... I mean, you'd score 150 goals, but let in 120, wouldn't you, a season? So I put this out on social media as well, so just to whiz through some of the sides that have come in on there. So Ros Putin on Reddit has gone Lloris in goal, Aurier, Sanchez, Alderweireld and Asuikoto.
Yeah,
the left back, Ben Asuikoto.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Son, Van der Vaart, Modric, Bale, Keane, Berbatov. So a lot of similar players there, you know, especially from the modern day. He said, having Aurier in there is an absolute disgrace, but I can't have Cor Luca because of Modric, and I'm not having Alan Hutton in my team, is what he said.
Alan Hutton was in my... you could probably do a good worst 11, actually. We won't do it now, but we could do a good worst 11.
Dane Wolf on Reddit, so we'll do his team in a second. He said, fullbacks were a struggle, really, looking back, given the rules of the game. So he's actually played bad at left back as well, like you did, Sam. So his was Torsvet in goal, Carr, Alderweireld, Goff and Bale. Then Son, Modric, Ardiles, Ginola, Klingsman, Berbatov. So not a bad side there either.
Yeah, good team.
Brad Friedel's one that's popped up in a few teams actually. I am Jesus Ammer on Reddit. Brad Friedel in goal, Carr, Sanchez, Vertonghen, Ikoto, Ginola, Modric, Wanyama.
Yeah,
Bale,
controversial.
Van der Vaart, Berbatov.
Yeah, it's good though. Good variation of players.
How much do you reckon? Apart from we're talking about fullbacks, but how much would them teams change? Thinking about my team, obviously,
what if you were allowed,
English players, I don't think it would change drastically. It just shows we're predominantly an English team, but all of our
we've had some good foreign players.
Yeah, it's quite interesting to see.
Going back to our dealers and Ricky Vig when they first signed. But then back in the day, we had a tradition of good Scots players playing for us. You know, we had Gilsing, Mackay, you know, John White. So, you know.
I think from mine, I mean, Harry Kane would be straight in, no hesitation. And Ledley would be in defence. But I think you're right. I don't think it would change too much. I would probably, of the best players I've seen, I'd probably have Kyle Walker in there. Right back in my team, to be honest, as the best.
Yeah, he is.
But I agree, I don't think it would change massively.
I've always shoehorned Stevie Perriman in at right back because you have to have him in.
And you'd have Hoddle. Would you have Hoddle and Gascoigne in yours?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Over Modric and Eriksen.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah, fair enough.
So there you go. They're our best all-time Spurs teams, players that we've seen live. So thanks to Cole for sending that one in. That's a good one. We've got a couple of games we want to talk about as well. So going back, this game feels like an eternity ago. Barcelona.
Oh.
I mean, what a night. I mean, obviously, we went into that knowing that we needed to match Inter's result in order to get through. So realistically, you're thinking we've got to go to the Nou Camp and win. That was the task ahead of us at the start of the game, really, if we're being completely realistic. Injuries at right back meant that Kyle Walker-Peters started.
Love that.
I mean, phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal that he's there playing in the Champions League.
If it's
League.
The best you've got, put him in. It's no point in playing someone out of position there.
Yeah,
so there were people
talking about, oh, let's shoehorn Dier or Alderweireld. But then, like you say, then you lose them in their best position. So he started at right back. Barcelona's team was weakened. Definitely, there's no getting away from that fact. Yeah. They still had a lot of good players, a lot of players that would walk into our side. I mean, their midfield was Arthur, Rakitic, Dembele, Coutinho.
They had a lot of world-class players.
They also, though, Jack, had two players in their team that cost individually more than our whole team.
Yeah.
Not a bad bench either, they had.
Yeah, not a bad bench at all. And they scored after 5 minutes, Barcelona, where Walker Peters was caught. Probably trying to do the right thing, you know, in hindsight, you say just put your foot through it and clear it, but you know, that's not really the way we play. He gets caught on the halfway line, but I mean, the run and the finish from Dembele was ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. And that was it, that was one mistake we made, bang, ball's in the back of the net, it's 1-0. And then you're thinking, all right, we're in trouble now, because 1-0 down at the Nou Camp, knowing that really you've got to come back and win is a difficult position to be in.
Yeah.
And then I thought we did okay then for about the 20 minutes after. Yeah. There wasn't a lot in the game, but we seemed to just sort of survive that initial spell. It's
important.
And then it flashes up on the telly, goal into nil, PSV 1. So, I mean, I'm up jumping thinking, brilliant, because Lozano scored, PSV 1-0 up. And we're through then. At this point, they're losing, we're losing.
See, we had quite different opinions. I think it was split. Me and Dad were, you were of the opinion it was great, we're through. But me and you, Dad, were much of, we didn't really want to even think about the other game. We wanted to focus on the task at hand and still go out having to win.
The thing was to win the game, wasn't it? And then you're not relying on other results. And, you know, that was always the thing. And if he was in front and they were losing, you know, then they're in terrible straits.
Yeah.
We got through to half-time at 1-0, but we had chances. There was the one in particular where Sun was played through Burks and 1v1 against the keeper. Keeper makes a really good save. And to be fair, the Barca goalkeeper, because their backup keeper, was outstanding on the night and made a few really good saves. And the other one was where Danny Rose got the wrong side of his man, whipped a low cross in, and Sun just wasn't quite there to get his foot on it. So 1-0 down at half-time, and you're thinking, okay, we're playing pretty well over the 45 minutes. It's been fairly even. The second half wasn't even at all. We absolutely battered them in the second half. It was just, I couldn't believe what I was watching. I know it was a weaker Barcelona team, but to go there and play the way we played, especially in that second half, knowing, you know, realistically you've got to score two goals in 45 minutes and keep a clean sheet, we were absolutely fantastic. I mean, we created so many opportunities, and you just started to think when it got to 70 minutes and you heard that PSV were now level and Inter had equalised, you're thinking, oh Christ, we've got to score a goal now. Is this going to be our day? Eriksen had one where it got crossed into the back post and the keeper made a great save. There was the Lucas Moura header, which was a fantastic save. And then from that resulting save, Lucas had another shot that went an inch wide.
Harry Kane was in one-on-one as well, blasted it over.
He put it over and you're starting to think, oh God, this is just, it's not going to happen. But then the goal comes where we pick the ball up on the left-hand side. There's a nice ball down the line to Kane. And Kane plays a brilliant cross where, you know, he could have cut inside and tried to shoot or go for glory himself, but he plays a perfect cross in.
Team player.
And Lucas Moura is there. He scored a lot of big goals for us this season. Meets it, ball's in the back of the net, it's 1-1. We've gone mad. The fans there have gone absolutely crazy as well. The players on the pitch didn't go mad. They got the ball out and ran to the halfway line.
I love that. Yeah. Kane, especially Kane.
There was no even moment to even think about celebrating. It was get the ball, we're going to go and win this
game. Get the second goal, go through.
It was just exceptional. Yeah.
And we had chances at 1-1. There was the Danny Rose one where he got the wrong side and smashed it miles over. A special mention of Rose, because he was sensational against Barcelona. Yeah. That was the Danny Rose of 15-16. That was the best left back in the country. He was powerful. He was intense. He was aggressive. Everything he did quickly. Yeah. He would have been an absolute nightmare to play against. He kept running non-stop. The overlap was always an out ball for us. It was sensational performance.
Yeah. But we spoke about it. For Danny Rose to play the way he wants to and the way that we love to watch him, he has to be 100% match fit. And I think because of the form that Davis has played in, the way the team rotates, it's taken him a lot longer to get that match fitness. So hopefully, it's good signs for things to come from Rose, because he was, like you say, he was outstanding.
Really, really good performance. And then it's full time and, you know, we're 1-1, we've done the job, and then you're now switching channels, getting the Inter PSV game on, just thinking what's happening. And Inter Milan missed a sitter right at the death.
We were standing in our sitting room, weren't we?
Yeah.
We were actually standing. I think you were standing with your hand on your head.
It was almost like, you know, the season where City won the league in the last second, that time just was standing still.
Yeah,
and you're just thinking, how much longer? When the full-time whistle went, you just think, oh, we're through, we've done it, what a brilliant result. It was fantastic, you know, to go there and play the way we played. We had more possession than Barcelona, which I think
that doesn't happen.
There's a stat which is something along the lines of that's happened 3 times in the last 10 years at the Nou Camp, or something crazy like that. That you just don't have more possession than Barcelona at the Nou Camp. It's not a thing. Julian Balague came out and described the game as the best away performance from a foreign side that he can ever remember seeing in the Champions League.
It was incredible.
Which is, you know, I mean, that's high praise from the man that wrote the book about Poch, but anyway. it's still it's high praise, but, you know, to Jack, go and do that.
We played well in Madrid last year away. We played well Juve. In Juve. You know, so, you know, we're a good team.
Well, we've had Barcelona, Madrid, Juve and Dortmund in the Champions League, and we're unbeaten.
Yeah,
we haven't lost in that spot. I know we lost at the San Siro, but, you know, that's how we lost one in five at the at tough away European ground. Well,
I think,
so.
I mean, I had this with no chance of getting through after two defeats, but you think that Inter picked up 2 points from four matches.
I don't know. I was never really obviously the odds were against us, but I always had the belief that we were able to go and get the performances, especially with the fact that Barcelona were already through.
Yeah.
And I, after watching us play PSV and Inter, I didn't see anything between either of them teams, so I had a bit of hope going into it.
I thought when we considered the late going PSV to draw, I thought we were gone at that point.
Yeah.
I really did. And I thought that we'd beat Inter and PSV at home.
Yeah.
But I was like you, Sam, actually. I was quite positive going into that last game. I didn't think we'd win him, but I did not think we'd win. I thought we might get a draw if they rested a lot of players. But having seen PSV at Wembley, and when they went 1-0 up against Inter, you're thinking, actually, that's a team that can hold on to a lead. Yeah. And Inter's strength is not playing expansive football, grinding teams down. Right. Their strength is doing what PSV did to them. So, fantastic to get through. And the draw was this morning as well.
Brilliant draw.
So to draw Dortmund in the knockout stages, I mean, it's going to be a tough game. We're going to have to play extremely well to get through. They're a top side. They're absolutely flying in the Bundesliga.
Yeah.
Top of the league, scoring goals for fun. So that's going to be a really tough game. But two games in the group we played last year, beat them home and away. Positive chance.
On our night, we can beat anyone.
Yeah,
we've proved that. So whoever they are, we can beat them.
I'm confident going into it. I really am, because I think going forward, they're a very, very, very stylish team. But their defence hasn't changed from when we last played them in the group stage.
If anything, it's got weaker, hasn't it? Because
the
centre half's gone to Arsenal, hasn't he? So
it'll be a really interesting tie. I think it's evenly matched teams. I don't know what I would have preferred, going away from home first or having the home game first.
It's a difficult one. Because we're runners up.
It's a difficult one, isn't it?
I don't think it really matters that much. I just think it's a real 50-50 game over two legs. I think either side could knock the other one out. But if you could have picked anyone, you'd have probably picked, no disrespect, Porto, and then you'd have probably picked Dortmund.
Definitely.
In the grand scheme of, let's see how far we can go in the tournament, it's a pretty good draw.
I personally would have been happy to have drawn Bayern Munich, because I know they've got the pedigree, they've got a lot of our older players there, and I think we could have knocked them out as well. I wanted to avoid Juventus and probably Madrid, because we played them last year, but I'd have
PSG.
Gone PSG are a good team, yeah. So I think as you quite rightly say, I think that was probably the second preferred draw what we could have got. Yeah. So it was good, really good.
But we'll
really
see what happens there. So that's something to look forward to next year. And the other game for us to talk about is the Premier League game at the weekend against Burnley, which was hardly the most memorable game. So we were all there, actually, for the Burnley game. So you two were in the season ticket seats.
Some of us were privileged.
I had the pleasure of being up in Club Wembley, which I've not done before. So Spurs Ladies had a couple of tickets going. So I had the pleasure of using theirs. So thanks again
Fantastic
to Spurs Ladies
them.
For that.
Brilliant.
So I was I was Club Wembley. Fantastic seats. I was the same end as the away supporters. Slightly round to the right and obviously above the away fans. So I've got to experience Club Wembley, which, like I said, I've not done before. Great experience, you know. It's they're definitely the posh seats. I don't think it's something I want to do every week, to be honest, because there's not a lot of atmosphere up there. It's a lot more of, you know, the privileged supporters.
Paul Sandwich Brigade.
Yeah. but you know what? To have experienced
Right? In a game like that as well. Nicely dry, undercover, not out in the rain.
Padded seats. It was really comfortable.
We were getting wet where we were sitting, weren't we?
And I mean, it was hardly a great game, let's be honest. I mean, everybody was shocked before kickoff when the team news came out and Oliver Skipp was starting.
Fantastic.
18-year-old through the academies, the next one on this conveyor belt of players that we're producing. centre of midfield as well, so it's not an easy position for an 18-year-old to
can't
come
hide
into the
side. Centre of midfield.
And you know what, to be fair to him, he didn't.
He deserves a lot of credit.
He started the game and you could tell that he was nervous because he got caught on the ball a couple of times and you just he could easily have hidden after that. He could have shied away and been like, I'm just going to get for an hour. But to be fair to him, he kept getting on the ball. Yeah. Even he gave it away a few times, but he kept getting on it. He weren't afraid to get stuck in.
No, he was mixing it with a very physical Burnley team as well. For an 18-year-old, he's really impressive. He just screams someone that's had a good year or so of Poch's influence and coaching, the mentality and the almost stubbornness that I'm going to play the way I want to play was fantastic. And I hope he gets more game time this season because I think he deserves it. Very, very good player.
I think it throws up the debate, and Kyle Walker-Peters always gets mentioned with this, with why are our players not going out on loan spells? Because we don't have many players out on loan. If you compare us with the top sides, we hold a lot of our players in the under-23s and they play under-23s football and they train with the first team. And in Pochettino's mind, that is a more beneficial route than sending a player to League One and having him play in those conditions. Probably because, like you say, he wants to play a certain way. And if Oliver Skipp went on loan to a side in League One or League Two, the chances of them actually playing out from the back and him working on the stuff that Pochettino wants him to work
is that
going to happen?
No,
it's not going to happen.
Imagine, say, going and playing somewhere like Middlesbrough
or
even Villa or somewhere like that.
The likelihood there is that you're then going to sit on the bench in the lower leagues. And when you do play, it's going to be all in the air.
Yeah.
And you're not really going to... I know some people would argue and say, oh, it teaches, you know, you've got to fight and you've got to battle.
Difficult.
Look at Dele Alli, like, he's been brilliant in the lower leagues. But I think for a player, and that's the first time I've seen Skip play, but he looks like the type of guy that he wants the ball on the floor and he wants to play football. He's not a big, aggressive... He's very similar, in my mind, to the way Harry Winks plays.
For his development.
Gets on the half-turn, receives the ball, wants to play and to strike his feet. So actually, for Pochettino, having the players in the 23s, playing in his mind, the right type of football, and then training with the likes of Eriksen and Ali and that, in his mind, is more beneficial. It's just an interesting approach because not a lot of the other sides do it.
It's different to what the other top teams
think,
do.
You know what? Chelsea have got about 30 players out on loan, haven't they?
Yeah.
And I know they're going to. The FA have been talking about, you know, stopping a lot of that, haven't they?
Yeah. It's just interesting because it's different, and it'd just be interesting to see his development now versus, you know, if you took an 18-year-old at Chelsea and Man United, how would they?
The thing is, the only way you learn by your mistakes on the pitch, and you know you're going to become a better player by playing.
And you know that with Pochettino, you've got a manager that if you make mistakes trying to do the things he wants you to do, he's not going to slaughter you for it. He'll probably say you have to learn when to play, when to not. But you look at Foyth, for example.
Great example.
Against Wolves, he played fairly well. He had two moments of madness that nearly cost us the game. If he'd have been at Chelsea, he never would have played
United.
But if he'd have been under Mourinho,
if he was at Man United at the moment, I think he'd be playing every game the way they're playing.
I know what you mean though, but I think it's so important for young players because you use Chelsea as an example, and you look at people like Loftus-Cheek, Barkley that are so good when they're given the game time. And with people like Skip and Forth, you have to expose them to these type of scenarios. It's the only way they're going to learn. And I think as Spurs fans, you have to take that into consideration. Like, Oliver Skip's 18 years old and he's going up against full-grown men that are physically stronger than him, that have been playing in the league for loads of years. I think once he's had a few more games, I think we'll appreciate that debut because it was at a very, very high standard.
I think if you think about Burnley played Liverpool the week before and there was a lot of whinging from Klopp about the tackling that Burnley were doing, and personally I couldn't see anything wrong in it. Quite brave to put him out there.
Yeah, very brave.
But I would say about Burnley, I thought they were a disgrace at the weekend the way they played. You know, there was one team wanted to play football and the other team just wanted a time waste. You know, two bookings for time wasting. Joe Hart should have been booked for time wasting. And then when they were a goal down, amazingly, he could take a goal kick in about 4 seconds.
I don't think you can criticise Burnley. I know that.
I think they were awful. I think if I was paying to watch a team, and we've had some terrible teams at Tottenham over the year, and we've watched a lot of rubbish,
but
we've never played football like that ever.
No, we've never.
And, we've always gone out and tried to play the right
but
way. I thought they were disgraceful.
We've never been as bad as Burnley.
No, we haven't.
Do you know what I mean? I know people would look, oh God, it was dark in the late 90s, and that when we were finishing 13, 14, if it was. And there was the odd season where we were in a relegation dogfight. But it's not, we weren't as bad as
the odd season.
But we weren't as bad as what Burnley are. And no. I don't think you can have, I think, you imagine if he'd have gone 4-4-2 and he'd have gone, right, let's press Spurs.
Yeah.
Let's play, you have a shot, we have a shot. We would have annihilated them.
They were
90 seconds away from a heroic performance, from a brilliant point, from a, you know what, that's how you shut a side out. Everyone would have said to him, fair play to him, he's gone away, done what he needed to get the result. I agree with you. I would never want to see my team approach a game like that. But you can't blame them.
You can only blame them. The players that you've got. You talk about our teams that were useless, it was quite a while back. But we always had in that team, we didn't have a Burnley. We always had quite flamboyant, flairy players.
Yeah, a couple of players.
We were quite a soft team.
I think with Sean Dyche, you can only use the players you've got. And I think that's the only way he can play away from home at the big teams to pick up points. He's not got a lot of pace. He's not got a lot of attacking flair. I'm with you, Dad. I think it's a disgrace. And I think Burnley are expected to lose the game. Why not go out and have a go and see what happens?
But if I say to you, when we go to Anfield in the Etihad this season, we play 5-4-1, we show no intent to go forward and we get a 0-0, would you take that now?
Yeah, 100%.
I would.
Definitely would. If you're giving that up, I don't think we'd play quite as bad as that. But yeah.
The other thing it did highlight for me is that we tend to really struggle against sides that sit in with five at the back. We really struggle to break it down.
But then any team would.
I get
Mourinho beat the great Barcelona team when he was Inter Milan manager playing a similar way.
But I think
it's hard to break down that type of thing. But what pleases me this season, with the PSV game as well, is we stuck to our principles. We kept playing the same way, trying to find the angles and that, and we've been rewarded rather than just starting the long balls in the box.
But the PSV game and then this game at the weekend against Burnley, the game's massively changed in my opinion when Llorente came on.
Yeah, good point.
Because they were defending so deep, Burnley, we couldn't get round the sides, we couldn't get round the back. So he's just gone, okay, now I've got a 6'4" centre forward, I'll chuck him on.
Yeah,
and it frees Kane up a little bit, and it gives defenders something else to think about, because all of a sudden you can pick Kane up, there's three centre halves, you can probably do it. When another striker's coming into it and Kane's dropping into midfield pockets, you start to think, oh, hang on a minute, what's going on here? To be fair to Llorente, he was involved in the goal, Burnley goal. You know, he doesn't really win the header, but he challenges and the ball goes over him and the defender.
He causes the problem, doesn't he?
It's brilliant from Kane, the way he holds it, lays it off to Eriksen, he just comes and strikes it and the ball's in the back of the net. And
talking about him being unselfish, you know, in the Camp Nou on the Wednesday, and he did the
same
there.
Well, people have criticised, how you can criticise him, I don't know, but they've said, oh, he needs to do more than score goals. And the last two games, he's got two assists.
Said that about who?
And there was Kane, that's what people.
And there was, I think, the Burnley chance at the start of the second half. I think it was Kane that blocked it, wasn't it?
Spurs fans?
No. Pundits and people we know that just want to criticise.
It's just everyone's going to. Unless you're Liverpool or Man City, you're going to get criticised by pundits because that's the way the Premier League works. But it's just one of them things. I think it was a great win, and we've just got to keep doing our thing, keep staying under the radar, because we're what? We're six points off Liverpool. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying we're going to win the league. I don't want to get too overexcited. But for the amount of injuries and how bad the season has gone for a lot of different reasons, I think we're doing incredibly well.
And it does come down to the other thing. If we'd have beaten Liverpool at Wembley, we'd be sat top of the league, which is a crazy... But they're the fine margins.
Yeah, it is.
They are. And if Lamella had put that one away against City, we should have had a draw against City.
Yeah, it's
I don't think we could argue that. You know, you've got a 3-point gain on City. You know,
but good win.
We're doing really
brilliant
well.
Brilliant win. It wasn't pretty. We got the job done. I mean, it feels like a long time since we got a last minute winner in the league. I was trying to rack my brains earlier when I was writing the agenda to see if I could remember actually when that was, and I can't remember a last minute winner.
Injury time.
I know we got a few when Eriksen kept winning 2-1 away, and Eriksen kept scoring.
That's going back to like first year of Pochettino.
Early Poch years.
It's there's no greater feeling at a football game, especially like you say, that when a team comes and they might have no attempt to try and play and they just time waste to get the winner in the last minute is the scenes are unbelievable. It was brilliant.
Yeah,
fantastic
win. And it tees us up for two games this week.
Yeah.
Firstly, Wednesday night, where we've got the North London Derby, Arsenal away in the quarterfinals of the League Cup. So you're a game from the semi-finals, so which is, you know,
huge.
Massive for us.
Huge.
It's a North London Derby. We lost a few weeks ago when we played them. So it's a big opportunity for Pochettino and the players to, you know, go there knowing, you know what, we got battered here a few weeks ago. Let's put things right. Let's knock them out of the cup.
Mm. I want to see us set our stall out in midfield, because that's where we lost the last
100%.
Game. And, you know, let's get in there and let's get a few early challenges in and create a war if we have to.
Well, team selection is going to be interesting for that game, because we have a lot of injuries. We've lost Eric Dier until at the earliest the new year with appendicitis.
That's a bit of a disaster, actually, because he would have played midweek.
He's the type of player you would love to have on your team.
So you'd imagine that
Tonga being injured again now.
You'd imagine the centre midfield will be Sissoko, Winks, probably.
He might
throw Skip in there and play for it. You don't know.
You don't know.
But there's a lot of talk that Sanchez could be back in for that game at the back, that would be massive for us if he's fit.
Yeah.
Absolutely massive.
Although, fair play to Ben Davies, just who stepped in centre-half against Burnley.
He did the job.
Did the job, didn't he?
Yeah.
But it's
different player mileage, though.
I think Ben Davies in a Burnley at home, one-off league game,
job.
Can go in there.
But it's difficult. It is difficult.
I thought he played well.
Yeah, he did well.
So, you know, Arsenal's going to be a tough game. But I think this game will be purely down to what manager feels the stronger side. Because I think we could go there. Pochettino is not afraid in these bigger derby games in the cup to play a lesser side. He's not afraid. Done it in the past. So I personally don't think Kane will start. I think he'll be on the bench, but I don't think he'll start, because I think in Pochettino's mind this game's not necessarily a priority.
I can't stand
I'm gonna predict it's gonna go all the way to penalties. It's going to be quite tight, quite nervy.
I don't know.
I actually think that Emery will play a stronger team than people anticipate.
I think he will.
Because if you look at his managerial record, he goes for the cups. Yep. Cups is a thing.
He's got a great silverware record.
With Poch, I think Poch looks at it, and this is a debate amongst supporters as well. You know, what would be a better season? Finishing third or finishing fifth and winning the League Cup? What's a better season?
Third.
And you'd probably say the cup, wouldn't you? So I think the
Champions League's important for the club financially at the moment.
Trophies
are what count.
And I'm not saying that it's one or the other, and we're definitely in the position where it doesn't have to be one or the other. But I just think that he looks at that and he probably thinks, if I could guarantee a win in one game this week, he'd probably pick Everton in the league.
It's interesting, and I think it's been made more interesting considering Arsenal's fantastic unbeaten run that took them no higher than fifth, ended at the weekend in fantastic fashion. It's always great to see Lauren Koscielny back, and I really, really hope he plays.
You talk about the injuries that we've got. They've got a lot of injuries at centre half.
That's what I was going to say.
A lot of injuries.
And also, when it comes down to it, I know we did get absolutely battered. There's no other way about it. But on paper, we're better in every single position than Arsenal, and you've got to draw confidence from that. Mm. Not arrogance, but you've got to draw confidence from that going into the game. We can definitely go there and get the result.
So you need a little bit of a luck and a few decisions go our way.
I sometimes think that cup games are better than the league game, because I'm not saying that we ever play games where the aim's not to win, but I think in the league game you probably go there, and in the back of all of their minds is probably, a point is a good result.
Definitely.
Whereas in a cup game, it's win or lose. You can't,
especially, you know, because it all happens and ends on Wednesday night.
I think you approach it slightly differently, thinking that, you know what, it's not all about shutting up shop and trying to keep it tight. Like, we need to win this game. So I think sometimes that can be a bit of a blessing in disguise. But we'll see. Like I said, I think team selection will be a real big thing in this game. But fingers crossed we can get the job done.
Yeah.
We will be out watching the game in the One Ton Pub in Good Street. If anybody is in London and wants to come and join us, it's our pod Christmas drink. So if anybody's about and fancies coming and joining us, please swing by and say hello, and we'll gladly share a pint with you and watch the game with you. And then we've got Everton at the weekend after that cup game. So Everton are a funny side. They're probably the best of the rest in the Premier League this season.
Yeah.
Not Man United.
Or Bournemouth have started losing a few
games.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
They're probably the best of the rest.
I was talking to a West Ham supporter, Dan. He reckons they're best of the rest.
Yeah, so but that's West Ham.
Get the nosebleed because they've won four games on the trot,
Leave West Ham to themselves.
But we've actually done fairly well at Goodison the last few seasons, and we've got a decent record against Marco Silva. I think he's the type of manager that I don't really fear us playing, because he's the type of manager that wants to get it down, play and be open.
Yeah,
and I think that suits us. I think if it was an Allardyce Everton, I'd be a little bit more wary about
always
it's going to be. But I'm confident we'll go there. We'll have to play well, don't get me wrong. Everton have got some talented players.
Still and hard ground to go and get a result. But
Goodison Park's one of my favourite stadiums in the league. I've got a bit of a soft spot for Everton. I think they're a brilliant club. They've always been, growing up watching Spurs, they're always a similar level, probably even slightly ahead when they have Moyes.
When we were growing up, yeah, not anymore.
So I always liked them, they're the people's club, families
it's old school stadium.
It's the supporters club, isn't it, in my opinion, Everton. Yeah. So but having said that, we go there and batter them. But I think we will. I think we'll go there and win by a couple of goals.
It's important it's important because we've got, correct me if I'm wrong, but we've got a lot of winnable games over the Christmas period. I'm talking
Wolves and Cardiff.
I'm talking no big 16. We've got to play in a little while in the Prem. So it's very, very important that we don't drop any points now. So we give ourselves the opportunity, if something doesn't go away in a big game, it's not going to really hurt us.
Yeah. Quick predictions for the Everton game.
I think it'll be 3-0. I think it'll be comfortable.
Yeah, a couple of goals.
I think 3-1. I could see Everton scoring, but I think we'll go and get the job done. It's time now for the We Are Tottenham Hotspur quiz.
We are about the glory of the game. We are about playing with style. We are Tottenham Hotspur.
So for anybody that's not listened to this feature before, I'll give you a game and I'll give you the date of the Spurs match, and then I'll give you about half of the team and then you've got to try and fill in the blanks. So I've gone for a bit of a retro game today. Think, Sam, that you're not going to have much of an opportunity here. So the game is Arsenal 1, Tottenham 3, April the 14th, 1991.
The FA Cup, Gazza free kick game.
Gazza free kick game.
Which
I was at.
The goalkeeper in that game is a question mark. So you need to write this down.
The goalkeeper was...
I'll go through. The goalkeeper's a question mark. In defence, you had Steve Sedgley.
Yeah.
Apologies in advance if I'm mispronouncing these names.
No, that's correct.
A question mark. Gary Mabbott.
Yeah.
And a question mark.
Yeah.
In midfield was Paul Allen.
Yeah.
And Paul Gascoigne.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Knew that one.
On one side was Vinny Samways.
Oh, who the hell is
I
that?
I knew that was one.
And on the other side is a question mark. And then sort of playing up front, an attacking midfielder, is another question mark. And then Gary Lineker. So you need to tell me the goalkeeper, centre-half, full-back, a sort of left, right-hand-sided midfielder, and then an attacking midfielder or second striker.
The goalkeeper's Eric the Viking, I know that.
It is Eric the Viking in goal.
I've got no hope, Dad. I wasn't born to this
Now, did Paul Walsh start the game?
Not according to my source. He came on for
Gazza, didn't he, I think?
Who was playing in defence? You know the kit, you associate players from the kit?
Do you want a clue on any
I'm
of the
I'm struggling
players?
At the moment.
Well, give us a clue.
Paul Stewart must
Paul
have
Paul Stewart, playing. Good shout. He's the sort of more
playing
off second striker. Paul
I'm
Stewart.
Trying to think who actually played in the cup final as well, and that's how I'm trying to get the team.
Shocking team.
Won the cup.
The midfielder that was sort of playing off the side had a great record in the FA Cup of just scoring goals.
91.
So in the old theme tune that we used to have, it was his name on the prowl in the FA Cup. If you can remember the theme tune from last season.
This is embarrassing.
What about... This was a game you were at?
It's embarrassing for you, Dad.
I was definitely at this game.
For you.
Yeah.
Let's try the...
This was at Wembley, don't forget.
Let's try the defence then. So the defender...
Sedgley was playing central defence.
Okay, so
with Mabbott,
it's just literally lists the players.
Right and the left back.
was after Chris Hughton's time. Mitchell Thomas.
Wasn't Mitchell Thomas.
Who's that?
I'll give you
Danny Thomas.
Wasn't Danny Thomas, no.
I'll give you a clue. So
doing terrible.
One of the defenders, Pat.
Pat Vandenhout.
Pat Vandenhout.
And then the other defender,
what's the best way of describing him? I mean, he was an absolute cart horse for defender. Justin.
Oh, Justin Edinburgh.
Justin Edinburgh.
The old Leighton Orient manager now.
Justin Edinburgh. Doing a great job down at Orient, actually.
So we've got one more midfielder.
Just a midfielder.
And we said Paul Allen.
David. Three. Two.
Four. Oh, David Howes.
David Howes. There you go.
Yeah, because he had the header in
on the prowl in the FA Cup.
Quite hard, actually.
So that side was Eric the Viking in goal.
Jesus.
Sedgley,
Samways and Howes in that team. And we went beat Woolwich.
This Arsenal team was pretty decent, wasn't it?
Arsenal had a much, much better team. Well, you're better placed.
They were going for the double. They won the league that year. I do believe they only lost one game all season.
Who were their big players at this
Alan
point?
Smith was playing up front.
Alan Smith, Merson was playing.
Merson, it's that time of year. Okay,
Kevin Campbell, Adams... I think probably Bold, David Seaman's in goal, Lee Dixon, Winterburn, all of that lot. We were massive underdogs that day. We got a quick 2-goal lead and hung on, basically.
The Gary Lineker goal in that game
was a great goal.
It's such an overlook because obviously there's the Gazza free kicks, fantastic. Lineker gets two, doesn't he, in that game?
Yeah, he gets the one where Paul Allen shoots and Seaman makes a hash of it and he stabs the... I like that because there's a guy behind the goal in a green top that Arsenal fan with his hands on his head. And I think that's great. The Lineker goal's brilliant.
Yeah.
And he dances around Tony Adams and he goes straight through David Seaman. But then a minute after that, they went up the other end and I think Campbell hit the bar and it come off and then Merson put it about an inch wide and then... I was starting to think it could be our day. But I always remember we was at the tunnel end and the tunnel was at one end rather than in the middle. And it was great because as they marched off, we were chanting, "Where's your double gone?" And that was really good. It was such a good feeling.
Like I've contributed just as much as ASD does to these things.
For anybody that's, you know, not watched that game, go onto YouTube and there's a brilliant 15-16 minute highlights of that. And it's fantastic. Obviously, everybody's seen the Gazza free kick. Everybody knows about it. But Lineker in that game, sensational.
Lineker was good. One thing about Gazza in that game was what people forget was he played in the quarter final. I think it was against Notts County and scored the winner. Then had an operation on his groin, and that was his comeback game.
Yeah,
you know he hadn't.
Ledley King-esque.
All hail the king.
You two were at the ground at the weekend, so you were successful in getting tickets for the familiarisation event for the South Stand.
Sam, you go first. Go on.
It was a really good event, actually. I was quite pleased about it. It was a great chance for us to have a look round the South Stand, see what work's been going on and how it's all going to work, really. Our season tickets are in the South Stand, so it was a great opportunity to see where we're sitting. It is... For anyone that did go will know, it was absolutely incredible. The stadium is amazing. The South Stand inside is amazing. There was legends knocking about. We had the pleasure of...
the great Martin Shivers.
Getting a picture of Martin Shivers. It was a really good event and it was something nice. I hate to say this, but it's probably one of the first times the club in a long time has done something nice for the fans, just to show a bit of appreciation for us. A
couple of things I would say is the area outside the ground. So as you walk down Park Lane and you go up the stairs and you've got this big area outside the South Stand, is really a big area out there for a meet. And they put us through metal detectors as you go up the stairs, and then you're in this big area where you can mingle and mix with people, and then you go through the turnstile, and it's just like, you know, you just scan your card and through you go. But the food and the toilets and everything, they had three levels open, and it was really good. And the downstairs bar and all the food bit was really good, and they were doing beer for £5 pint, which I think's absolutely fine. And I was hugely impressed with it all.
Excellent. Mm. Our seats are brilliant. The ground itself is absolutely unbelievable.
Mm.
We walked right to the top of the
fantastic
south stand. I think it was 82 rows when it was
fantastic.
It really was. It was extraordinary, all of it.
Looking forward to getting in. Our season tickets, which are in the south stand.
Yeah.
Do you know what row we are?
We're row 25, block 258, row 25.
Oh, there you go.
So anyone in the new ground want to come over and say hello?
Yeah, let us know if you're going to be sat near us.
We'll give exact seat numbers near the time.
Yeah. And we've got a competition to announce the winner of today. So brilliant. If anybody listened a few weeks ago to Stato, where he went and did a podcast special on the Spurs shirt, but it was all about all of the kits and about the club going back right to when we first started. Fantastic book.
Yeah.
We've got a brand new unopened copy of it here, and it looks absolutely fantastic. And we asked a couple of weeks ago for you to go onto iTunes, leave us a review, follow us on Twitter, follow the Spurs shirt on Twitter, and we'll pick a lucky winner from everybody that's done that. So we've got the list of all the names of people that can win, and Sam actually pulled the name out of the hat. You did the draw.
You're welcome.
Just before we started. So if you are Billyboy2606 and left us that review on iTunes, please get in contact with us. Either send us a message to Echoes of Glory on Twitter, or you can drop Stato an email on stato74@yahoo.co.uk, just with your address and your contact details, and then we will speak to you about how we'll post you the copy of the book. So congratulations to Billyboy2606 for winning that. And thanks everybody for entering and leaving us a review. If you didn't get round to doing it and you still want to leave us a review on iTunes, please do, because it's fantastic, you know, to hear all of your feedback, what you like about the podcast, what you want to hear more of. If you want to hear less of Sam, you know, that's absolutely fine. So congratulations again, Billy. Enjoy the games this week. Like I said, if you're in London, the One Ton Pub near Good Street Station, pop in and see us for that game against Arsenal. Hopefully we can turn them over. It'd be massive for us if we can. Enjoy both the games this week. I remember, whatever happens, future's bright, future's lily white. Come on, you Spurs.
I always thought there was very, very many people interested in football, and I always thought that football was a very important game, but I never realized until today just how important it is.
Whether the Wonder Boys of White Hart Lane are or are not the team of the century can't possibly be more than a matter of opinion.
Well, they're the finest team in Great Britain, and one of the best in the world.
We are about the glory of the game. We are about playing with style. We are Tottenham Hotspur. The curve of the ball, the billow of the net, the beating of the trap and the picking of the lock, the swiftness of thought, the lightness of touch. We are Ginola, Greaves, Klinsmann. We are the collective gasp, the intake of breath, the flick, the trick, the 30-yard free kick. We are Hoddle, Mabbott and King. We are the lob, the chip, the dummy and the volley. We are the hat trick, the scissor kick. We are Bill Nick.
That is schoolboy's own stuff.
We are the outside of the boot, the inside of the net, and those seconds that last forever.
Van der Vaart to level it up. Raphael van der Vaart, 2-2! It's quite a game, isn't it always?
We are Jennings, Defoe and Perryman. Glory past, glory future. What was, what is, what's next? We are Blanchflower, Ardiles and Bale. We are about winning with a flourish. We are about winning with style. We are about the glory of the game. Daring to try, daring to risk, daring to dream. To dare is to do.